This episode of WTW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. You know, the Golden Globes was this past Sunday, and if you want to feel like a star and get that kind of treatment, personalized treatment that the stars do, or Len Testa, you know, walking around having people tell you what to do and giving you some good advice and, you know, helping you along the way. Well, of course, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you feel like that Disney World star, because they're going to make sure that you have the opportunity to have a great well-deserved vacation, not only in terms of a great deal on your trip, so that way you don't have to be as rich as a Hollywood star to
I know I was getting really annoyed by that.
Be able to afford it. But in addition, they're also going to make sure that they're going to help you along the way, whether you're a first-time Walt Disney World visitor and need a little hand-holding, or you're a veteran and you've got it down pat, they can make sure just make your life easier for you. Regardless, they're here to help you. And again, they're a fee-free agency. Disney pays them, not you. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. And you know what? Speaking of the star treatment, the other, if you really want to feel like you're living like a star, you got to check out our good friends at All Star Vacation Homes, because their houses over there, I'll tell you, I wish I lived in houses like that. So going down to Walt Disney World and being able to stay in an All Star Vacation Home, boy, howdy, it is living. I mean, I'm relating to Kentucky. What's up, Lexington?
Wait, that's Massachusetts.
So at All Star Vacation Homes, they got some really nice amenities. I mean, it's not just a place to stay. This isn't just a hotel room. This is an experience. You've got full-size kitchen, movie room, game room, your own private pool. I mean, it's just beautifully kept places. And they're so close to Walt Disney World. You really got to check them out. Go to allstarvacationhomes.com. And, of course, our good friends at touringplans.com are also sponsoring this podcast. And, you know, when you're in Walt Disney World, you're in the parks, and you want to make sure that you and your family have a great time in the parks, be able to see everything and do everything. You certainly don't want to wait for everything. TouringPlans.com is your answer for you, just for a couple dollars for the year. And you, my friends, are going to be able to see everything. And really, it's all about being able to get all of those favorite attractions for you, for your kids, for that guy who's going with you, whatever it is, whoever you're traveling with. The bottom line is you're going to see all your favorite attractions. And we've got a special discount code just for our podcast listeners. That's right. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a great bunch of money on your touringplans.com subscription. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, January 14th, 2014, and this is episode 1443 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Mike Scopa is off running somewhere a lot, so joining us on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Initial Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding.
You know, when we do these ad reads, I think you ever listen to a Garrison Keillor when he does whatever show he does Saturday nights on NPR? What does he do? It's Prairie Home Companion, right?
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I thought the powder milk biscuits company that he promotes, I always thought that was something made up. That he just sort of throws in the show, but we should totally do that. We should do like, you know, the Power Biscuit Council or whatever. But I Laurel and I were joking around one day, and we came up with this thing called the American Wednesday Council. Uh-huh. And so the idea was that the American Wednesday Council would promote Wednesday as a great day of the week. I think we should make the American Wednesday Council one of the sponsors of the show.
I like it. It's warmer than Tuesday, but not as bad as those Thursdays. You don't want to be a Thursday, let me tell you.
Exactly. Hey, there's nothing wrong with us. it's like pre-gaming for the weekend. The American Wednesday Council. Yeah. Hump day! Anyway. That would be their motto, right? That would be their motto.
What are you wearing tonight, Len?
I am wearing a blue and white striped Ted Baker shirt, some Banana Republic pants, a pair of black leather Echo CityWalk boots.
Wow. I thought we all agreed to do the show in our underwear.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally wearing some Gap underwear, too. Yeah, sorry.
Nice. Yeah. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio Company Show. Mike?
I got some bad visions in my head right now. I gotta get
you know, like when you first buy new underwear, it's like sucking all the fat towards your body. You're like, what is this? Why is it so? And then after like a year or two, it sort of relaxes. Like you and the underwear come to an understanding about how it's supposed to feel.
Have to have this conversation?
No, but I'm seriously like there are times where I can't wear new underwear to bed because it's like, look, my thighs should not be hurting this much, you know. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway,
well, those of you who haven't turned off the show, welcome.
Yeah.
Look, I can't wait for the person who's like, ooh, WWE Today, this sounds really interesting. I bet I want to learn some things about Disney World. Let me try this out.
We're 5 minutes in. Yeah.
I'm trying to impress some radio people with this show, and this is the first one they're going to hear.
All right. So let's talk about actual Disney World news, right? So there's a couple of things that have happened. One, we'll talk first about the Polynesian, then we'll talk about changes at Matt's favorite park, the Disney's Hollywood Studios. But apparently the cash price rates for the new DVC rooms at the Polynesian Village have started to leak out, or where people are starting to be able to compute what they're going to be, you know, in a ballpark range based on the points charts that are out. So it looks like for these studio rooms, have you guys seen the room layouts for these? We did a quick blog post for them on touringplans.com. Mm-hmm. They're about 450 square feet, which for a studio is fairly large.
Yes, it is.
But the interesting thing about these Polynesian DVC studios is two bathrooms. And that's something that I don't think any other studio in Disney World has. But that's going to be great. So it'll sleep five. It'll have two bathrooms. That's a really big selling point. But as far as you can tell, the cheapest price for those things on a cash basis is going to be somewhere between $400 and $600 a night.
You know, you know what? Compared to what we're going to talk about right after this, it's not that bad.
It's important.
I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to seem so bad after you hear about the next one.
So the $400 to $600 a night, let's say that the average is $500. That's the equivalent of getting two moderate resort rooms per night, where you're going to have somewhere around 630 square feet combined versus the 454. Now, granted, I don't think any of us would say that the dining at any moderate resort on Disney property is as good as the dining at the Polynesian, or, you know, the dining at the Polynesian plus the Grand Floridian plus the Contemporary, which are all accessible at the, via the monorail. But I gotta say, I'm intrigued about staying in one of these two bathroom studios. It looks like a really interesting design. So one of them is like a full bathroom. The other one's like a shower and a sink, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is still so nice because anytime you can break that up.
Yeah. Two people can get ready at once, right? Two groups.
Yeah, it's great for families, no question about it.
Yeah.
Not rich families.
Yeah, right. So, but the thing that sort of sucked all the air out of the room for me was to see what the cost of these two bedroom bungalows, the ones that are over Seven Seas Lagoon are running. And those, it's two bedrooms. It's about 1,150 square feet, not counting a 300 square foot deck with a plunge pool. And granted, it's got some spectacular views of the Magic Kingdom. Supposedly it's like having I think Disney's actually advertising a phrase similar to this. They're saying it's like having a front row seat to the electrical water pageant every night. However,
strap in.
Exactly, ready. It's the low. There are a couple days of the year where you can get it for around $2,100 or $2,200 per night.
Per night.
Woo! But the average is going to be $2,500, and it'll go up to around $3,000 per night towards the end of the year. $3,000 per night for something that sleeps eight people.
I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. I'm really trying to hold myself back in terms of saying that's what I'm supposed to say on here. This is a terrible, terrible idea. I mean, this is just the pricing is absurd to say the least, and the fact that they're putting this out there, and this is like, you know, kind of a, this isn't like, it's not like when like at a, I don't know, the Vice President suite at like Wilderness Lodge, which is like a room and you kind of have to know about it for it to really be, you know, kind of like a something you would book, like, right. This is a focal point of this resort, and the fact that they have the onus to come out there and be like, yeah, we're going to put out rooms that are going to cost you know, a cost of a cruise per night.
Yeah.
$3,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and more than that, because if you can get – so, but it's cruise, only, actually,
I was about to say half a Disney cruise.
Well, right, anyway. So in December, you can actually get concierge level on the Dream for four nights for under $1,500 for two people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So think about that. So you could go on two four-night cruises for two people, or you could spend one night.
That's crazy. That doesn't even make sense.
No, and this is terrible. And this is what really bugs me. And look, I said, you know, Newell has the audio clip somewhere of, you know, way back when I said, you know, well, when the DVC comes to the Polynesian, I'll be all about it. I'll buy it. There is no way in anywhere I would give Disney any money for this because this just justifies what this is. And this is quintessentially what is wrong with Walt Disney World today in terms of they are pricing themselves.
Be careful. You said Walt Disney World today. It has nothing to do with us.
No, this is what's wrong with this podcast. www.today.
Yeah.
How do you sit there and say, yeah, this is okay?
Well, here's the thing that I have difficulty with. So the room itself, it's a two bedroom. It's about 1,150 square feet, like I said, plus the 300 square foot deck. So it's a little bit larger than the Animal Kingdom Lodge villas, some of the older ones. At Jumbo House, or Kidani. But it's not as large as, like, Boardwalk Villas. They're about 100 square feet larger. It's about the same size as the ones at Bay Lake Tower. But the ones at Animal Kingdom, that the rack rates top out at half the cost of the ones at the Polynesian. So, you know, are we saying that the Animal Kingdom two bedroom villas are half as good at the Polynesian? Or conversely, are we saying that since they're about the same size, the view alone at the Polynesian is worth $1,500 a night. Think about that. So you're a family of four, you're staying, let's say you're staying five nights. That's the view alone, not counting the room, is worth an additional $7,500 on the course of your trip. And let me ask you guys this question. If I came to you and I said, Matt or Mike, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I want you to come by and pick up my family in a van. And I want you to drop me off at the Polynesian with drinks and with comfortable chairs every night so I can watch the fireworks and the electric quadruped pageant. And I want you to set up a tent so that I'm not bothered by mosquitoes or anything like that. And I want you to fan me with a large fan so I am not, you know, overly taxed by the humidity. And I said, look, I'll give you $5,000. I'll give you $1,000 a night for that. Would you do it?
Sure.
In a second.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Think about that. I would still save $2,500 over the cost of the Polynesian.
And get the same view.
Same view, same fireworks. Now, granted, I wouldn't get to sleep there at night, but it's, what was the line about, all the Kardashians look the same in the dark. I'm just saying, right?
I mean, really?
Let me ask you this, Len. Maybe we were the crazy ones here. In Las Vegas, which of course you also have the unofficial guide to Las Vegas.
Yes.
I mean, something similar in terms of square footage. You're not going to get like a one-to-one in terms of like on the water, obviously. But something of this ilk, like this kind of a square footage. I mean, is there something, if you're spending this kind of money, 3 G's a night, I mean, what are you getting in Las Vegas for that? Is there any comparison?
3 G's a night? You would I've stayed in two bedroom suites at the MGM. So the MGM has these MGM towers that are adjacent to the MGM itself. And I think I paid, this is when they first opened, for two bedrooms, I paid something around $500 a night for comparable. And
that makes sense.
Oh, $500 a night? I mean, that was at the time that was a lot of money for that. The interesting thing though, here's what I would say though, right? If you're gonna spend that kind of money, let's say you're gonna go to Vegas, right? And you bring that money, but you gamble it instead of paying for the hotel room, they'd probably give you the hotel room at a discount, right? So if you tell the MGM, look, I'm gonna put, you know, $10,000 in play every hour for, you know, 8 hours, right? You know, figuring out how much you're going to lose, you know, to the house
right.
every hour. So, you know, their edge is like 3% or whatever, depending on the game you're playing. You know, at the end of the day, you'd probably put 50, 60 grand in play because you're not going to lose all your money all the time. They would probably comp you the room.
Oh,
I'll give you another example. So at other hotels, and some of these are sort of far into the strip, but, for as little as a $1,500 buy-in for certain tournaments, they would comp you two rooms for four nights.
I mean, this is just ridiculous.
But here, let's put it in terms of a house, because just so if you wanted to stay at the bungalows for a week using the least expensive set of points, like the least expensive days, mm-hmm. you would have to finance somewhere around $175,000 to do that. That is more than two of the three houses I own combined.
Thanks. Disney. Appreciate it.
If you wanted to do it during peak season, it would be $275,000 to finance, which is more than all three houses I paid for combined.
This is I hate to use though is the saying, you know, what would Walt think? But I mean, geez, Louise.
But people pay it. That's the thing. I mean, people have that money.
But will they pay for this? I don't know. I don't know if this will.
There's only 20 that new. I guarantee you those will sell out.
You think?
I guarantee it. Yes. Because think about it. There's 52 weeks, right? So what do you need? They've got like 7,000 room days, right, for those 20
mm-hmm.
over the course of a year. They need 7,000 people out of 350 million Americans, 320 million Americans with that kind of money? Mm. Sure. I bet you they don't even advertise it to the general public. I'll bet you existing DVC owners get a slight discount. I think they get like $5 a point less. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Sign me up.
So more gruels? But that's it's breathtaking. And that's it, right? Okay, so and it's a lot of money. If any of our listeners can get me into one of those bedrooms, I will split the cost with you. For one night of doing this. If anyone can get a reservation, I will gladly split the one night cost just so I can say I stayed there. I might bring the entire Walton family, and I'm not talking about the Sam Walton family. I'm talking about the
John
Waltons
Boy?
from TV. I might bring them all with me because that's how I'm going to get my money's worth. But, yeah, if anybody really, seriously, if anybody can get a reservation and they want to give up a bedroom for one night, I will happily split the cost for one night and I'll buy you dinner too. Just like to stay there, but I cannot fathom me spending $2,000 just to stay there to review this for. And that's the thing, like we were talking about this with Bob, you know, for the guidebook. I'm like, you know, we got to stay there. And Bob's like, only 20 people in there are going to stay there. It's so much money that, you know, we will eventually have to do it. We will eventually have to review it. But given the cost and given how few people are going to stay in there, I can't say that it's a priority. Right.
Just put in the book, you'll get to like, you know, the subheading of the bungalows at the Polynesian, and all you need to put there, the cost is 3 G's a night. And then,
exactly.
And then just move on to the next section. And you know what? No one's going to say, you know what? I really want to read a review of that section.
The studios in comparison look like a reasonable deal. I mean, they're not club level. So this is actually an interesting question. Would you rather stay at a studio with two bathrooms or club level?
Club level.
Yeah, I think I would say, yeah, because you get free food at club level, not free food.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up by saying I think the studios aren't bad for what the Polynesian commands and all that stuff, and Len's beloved two restrooms. It's not bad, especially on points. I mean, it can be a decent value for yourself. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That being said, the bungalows are way worse than I ever thought they would be in terms of price, and it's terrible in terms of, because it's not like, again, it's not this room that's hidden in the corner and you have to know the secret password. This is in front of the whole resort. You cannot look at the Magic Kingdom. You cannot look at this resort. Everyone's going to be looking at it, and these rich people who are staying in this it's right in front of you.
Yeah. The other, this is my final word. You know, I looked at the decor in the drawings and it didn't impress me that much. But well, you know, I'll wait to pass judgment on that until I actually see the room itself. Anyway, let's move on to the studios real quick. The big news last week at the studios, of course, the Sorcerer's Mickey hat began removal, so demolition of it.
Rest in peace, brother.
Rest in peace. And this is going to open up the front of the park to be more clearly visible. The Grumman's Chinese Theater, right?
Like
be able to see that now. And so, Matt, do you know what the icon of the park is now?
Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror, that's right.
I saw it on one of the maps.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing from my perspective. Now, the rumor is that the big hat came down because the sight lines for the proposed Star Wars land around Echo Lake would be such that you could see the hat from Star Wars land, and Disney management didn't want that to happen. Now, here's the thing. Supposedly, within the next 4 to 8 weeks, construction is going to begin on Echo Lake itself. They're going to demo the lake, the water. they're going to demo Dinosaur Gertie's and Min and Bill's Dockside Diner and start doing foundational work for Star Wars Land there. So, the interesting thing to look for, the thing to look for our listeners is if they do start demo there, if they, that'll be the far edge of the Star Wars Land, then the next big thing to see is, at D23 when Disney announces sort of the scope of the Star Wars Land. But the thing to keep an eye out for is whether Lights, Motor, Action closes in 2016. Because that will tell you how big Star Wars Land is going to be. I think they're not closing Lights, Motor, Action right now because with everything else closed, you'd be down like, you know, six attractions in the park.
Right, and that's a huge capacity. Right.
And they can't do that. Yeah, they can't. They're not going to go into Easter down a ride like that. Right, it's just not going to happen. But the first thing to look for is the Echo Lake demo, which should be happening in the next, like I said, 4 to 8 weeks. That will tell you that Star Wars Land is definitely a go. And then the next big thing to look for is to see what happens, you know, Streets of America-ish, Muppets, Lights, Motor, Action, because those are the
You got to wait for the demo, though, because they do drain Echo Lake basically about once a year because it gets all this stuff in there. But, yeah, you got to actually see real construction, not just a drained lake.
Well, if you see Dinosaur Gertie.
Yeah, if Dinosaur Gertie is missing, that would
prove
your point. Yeah.
That'll give it away. And, you know, I'm really going to miss Min and Bill's because I really do like the sandwiches.
Hot dog.
Damn, that pretzel roll dog. Oh, man. That was something.
And
that
the Frosty? That was good eating.
I never had the Frosty. Was it good?
Oh, it was so good.
You better go, Len. You better go. You got 4 weeks.
You better go now.
Yeah. Well, actually, you've got a trip planned, so yes, we'll see. That brings up another thing. So our listeners should do me a favor, tweet me or send in an email to the show. Let me know where I should eat my first sit-down meal of 2015.
Ooh. Wow. Look at that. You're gonna...
Whatever gets the most votes, please don't say Victoria Albums because I've already been there.
I thought they were going to say either
sci-fi,
T-Rex, or Tony's Town Square.
Yeah. Tweet me or send in a new email into the show, and whatever gets the most votes, I'll do it.
All right, sounds good.
Cool.
Very good stuff. And of course, we got lots of questions to answer. So Let's hop into our emails. And our first email is from Eric from Delaware. My wife and I are played oddsmakers, and due to the young kids' percentage, will finally swing in my way in 2017 to head to the world alone. If I want to go to the park open to close for a long weekend and enjoy without young kids yet experience all I can, should I go during reunion with rate discounts, meeting other fans, and, well, you guys, Destination D23, experience attraction rewind and expo atmosphere, or any off-peak time? Maybe Disneyland is my first experience. Please note, the family and I will most likely be going in August 2017 and spring 2018 of my annual pass. My thought of my long trip will be in between those dates. P.S. I'm burnt out on food and wine, Flower and Garden.
I'm going to give you so those are all good times to go. I think reunion, obviously, because reunion is a lot of fun. I'm going to give you one other time to consider for 2018, Memorial Day.
Why is that?
Well, because that's when they traditionally have positioned the 24-hour event.
Oh, here's the thing, though. He said he wants to go between August 2017 and spring 2018.
Well, so if he gets passed in August of 2017, he'll have till August 2018 to do it.
Oh, okay.
And technically, Memorial Day is the very end of spring.
Yes, technically.
Yeah.
It's not bad. The only other day I was in one of my favorite times to go into Walt Disney World ever. I go for the off-peak, honestly, I know you mentioned the other things, but I think off-peak is best. And my favorite weekend is that first full weekend in February. It's just dead there. It's great. Great weather, great crowds in terms of low crowds. It's not hurricane season. It's one of my favorite times to go, and I would have gone this year if not for the birth of my kin.
Child number two.
Yeah. But if not, we totally would have been down there for it.
You know, reunion this year was really nice in terms of weather. It was moderate temperatures. It was actually a little warm, but then it started
cooling. We are riding a roller coaster that is about to plunge at some point because the last, like, 2 or 3 years have been really nice. Before that, it was such a up-and-down affair that we're due for, like, you know, bitter cold or just the disgustingly hot. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, we're due for either like 95 or 45 degree temperatures.
Nothing in between.
Because it's been too nice for a couple of years. Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on to an email from Alan from Champaign, Illinois. On the December preview show, Len mused that by opening the park earlier than posted times or keeping the park open later than scheduled, maybe guests would spend an extra couple hundred or thousand or $1 million. This got me wondering, what do you estimate it costs Disney World to keep, say, the Magic Kingdom open for an hour? How many employees would you estimate are working for any given hour? What other fractional costs, like attraction maintenance, et cetera, would you factor in? In other words, how many guests need to show up an hour earlier or, say, an hour later to impact Disney's ROI? Does Disney release such figures? Can we estimate somehow?
Oh man, that's a great question.
Let me flip the question though a second, because when Disney opens the park earlier than they announce, or vice versa, close the park later than they announce, when they open it earlier, this is a better example. The reason they're doing this is not for to make, I don't think it's to make more money. It's so to help with crowd control. Because if people show up to the park, let's say the park says it's open at 9, people show up at 9, and there is if the park really does open at 9, there'll be a line from the turnstiles at the Magic Kingdom back out to like the Contemporary. Because, you know, and that's exaggerating, but you know what I mean. They get, you know, they'll have a huge, huge crowd. But when they open the park earlier, it helps again with crowd flow and the guest experience, right? They don't want people, you know, not even getting to the park and being frustrated with it. They want people to be happy and kind of that perception that goes along with it. So that's a big part of it for me. Now, but obviously there is an ROI factor, but I mean, you got to think when they're still making their bones about it, right? Not, you know, certain bungalows notwithstanding.
Yeah. So it's an interesting question. How many cast members do you need to support a given crowd level? You know, my first thought was to use the cruise line as a rough estimate. So on the cruise line, you've got roughly 1,500 crew on the bigger ships supporting 4,000 guests. So a ratio of somewhere between about 2.5 to 1, right? Mm-hmm. So on a typical day at the Magic Kingdom, you've got 50,000 people. You've got, say, 35,000 at Epcot. You've got, you know, a few tens of thousands at the studios and the animal camp. Let's say you've got, 120,000, people in the park total, right? And all four parks total. Plus, you know, Downtown Disney and, the water parks and Disney Quest and stuff like that. So 120,000 people. Let's say you probably need somewhere between 40 and 50,000 cast members to staff all of Walt Disney World, all the support stuff too. So don't forget, there's also, you know, there's bus drivers, there's infrastructure, there's security, there's waste management, there's housekeeping, there's all that stuff. So you need, let's say that your base cost is 40,000 cast members a day. Then you need to figure out what their hourly cost is, right? Mm-hmm. What's the average wage for each cast member? Let's just ballpark that and say I think the median U.S. wage is somewhere around $22 an hour, right? That's $800,000+ an hour that Disney has to make. So that's a lot of money. I mean, that means that the break even for the parks most days is somewhere between, like, you know, 50 and 60,000 people total in all of Walt Disney World. Like, granted, the Magic Kingdom probably averages that, but my sense then is the Magic Kingdom gate receipts probably pay for all the cast members around Walt Disney World for a given day, and that the other three parks, like, plus everything else, is profit.
I was going to say, Len, isn't it just like the cruise line, where the cruise line, your fare doesn't actually, they don't make any real money on it. It's more of a break-even scenario. That's why the ships need to sail full, and by and large, they need to have people in the parks, you know, purchasing it, park admission. But the real money, where the real money is in merchandise, is in dining.
Drinks. Yeah, dining, drinks. Yeah.
Exactly. All those things. That's where they really make their profit.
And the shore excursions, yeah, because there's a huge markup on shore excursions.
Right, but in the parks, it's the same thing. It's dining. It's the merchandise. It's all the stuff people actually – the extra money people spend, that's where they make – and we know that because when Disney does really well in their quarters and they look at the parks division and they say, you know, why are they doing so much better? And they almost always say increased guest spending.
Yeah, exactly. It's not they rarely say, you know, it's the number of people have gone up, you know, 15 or 20%. What they're saying is we're charging people more and they're paying it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds like we're playing the Sims game.
Roller Coaster Tycoon, really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Next, we have an email from Joey from Newberry, Florida. Thanks for the wonderful entertainment. To elaborate on Dimitri's question from episode 1427, cowfish can be found in Orlando as Universal just opened one in CityWalk. Anyways, my family is planning on staying at Art of Animation in September, and we've never stayed there. We want to get a family suite and one regular room since we'll have 9 adults and 3 kids. Will there be enough room for us to make this happen in 2 rooms? We figure one room can house 3 adults, grandparents and aunt, and the suite should be able to fit the rest.
Where at?
At Art of Animation.
A suite and a regular room. So the suite is going to be about 500-ish square feet.
Mm-hmm.
A little larger than that. And a regular room is going to be a little bit larger than 260.
Yeah.
So, and how many people?
So 9 adults, 3 kids. They'll put 3 of the adults, Are they putting 9 adults in one room? That can't be right. Because they said 9 adults and 3 kids, and they will put one room can house 3 adults, and the suite will be able to fit the rest. The rest being 9?
No, you can't do that. No, you need maximum capacity 6 in the
suite.
Yeah, in the suite, in the family suite, yeah.
You could do 4 in the small room at animation, but
Do they charge you extra for the 4th one, like they do at like Pop Century?
Anything beyond 2 adults, they'll charge you $10 or $15 a night. Yeah.
Yes, that's not going to happen. Sorry, Joey.
Two suites actually. At that point, you know, look at a vacation home though, dude.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or one bungalow. I wonder how many Auster vacation homes you could get. $3,000
oh my goodness! You probably get 10 of them.
Probably.
You should make that as an infographic, Glenn, for torrentplans.com. Like, how many blank?
Oh, dude, I could totally see it in my head right now.
wait 1 week at, at these. You could go one night or 1 week, depending on how much of a goof you want to go with.
Think about it. So, 21, so it's, for a week, it'd be $21,000. Remember, I looked at a pre-tax. I looked at a 6-bedroom, 6-bath house in South Kissimmee for $60,000.
I mean, 21 grand, wow. That is going to get you a nice, that's going to get you a decent midsize American car.
That's a Nissan Altima and an All-Star Vacation home.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, go back to the question. I think you're looking at 2 suites there.
Okay.
Or again, All-Star Vacation home. I would legitimately give that a serious consideration.
Next email from Andy from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Since the new Star Wars 7 trailer was released recently, it drew the question, what happened to all the unemployed stormtroopers after the Death Star exploded? I come up with a few, but we'd love to hear your thoughts. The most obvious job would be at Star Tours, but let's say that wasn't an option. Here are a few of my ideas. Security guard at Magic Kingdom, Jungle Cruise skipper, lights motors stormtrooper, lifeguard, cast member trying to sell you DVC.
Did you see there's a minor league hockey game over this past weekend? And it was a Star Wars themed weekend. So each team wore Star Wars themed jerseys. Some of them were stormtroopers. So their lettering was, their t-shirts were modeled like stormtrooper shirts with the Death Star, graphic, fonts.
Right.
On it. It was really super cool. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Where would all the stormtroopers go? I don't know. I mean, there's always evil to be had in the galaxy, right? I mean,
oh, where would they have a job in Disney World?
With the new Star Wars land, obviously.
Yeah, he was saying, forgetting Star Tours for a second.
Where would they go?
What would be a humorous job for stormtroopers?
You know what? I think they would be hysterical, and I don't know why Disney hasn't thought about this, but stormtroopers at 50s Primetime Cafe, like trying to serve you food.
Yeah.
Because they'd have to, where else would they have to empathize? At the spas. Like trying to give you a massage. Oh, and Darth Vader's over there trying to give you a massage, but using the force. So you're like, oh yeah, right there on the neck. Yeah. Yeah. Right there. Yeah.
Well, they're known for their terribly bad aim and not being able to hit anything. I'm trying to think if there's an attraction that would play well into. I mean, you mentioned the Jungle Cruise itself, like shooting at you. Like, you know, the scene where you're getting ambushed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They can actually shoot at you because they won't hit you.
They could be ride-alongs for like single people on Toy Story Mania, and you could always beat them.
Exactly. They don't hit anything.
Yeah,
nice.
That's an idea.
All right. Next, we have an email from Doug and Mecca of Covington, Louisiana. My next trip to Walt Disney World is going to be for 8 days. I would like to be able to visit 2 parks in 1 day, but only 1 day. It seems to be less expensive to buy a 10-day Magic Gateway ticket than to buy an 8-day park hopper in order to do that. My question is, you can't do that. No.
Can't do it. I wonder if it's cheaper to buy an 8-day base and then a 1-day ticket and then just use the 1-day ticket. Hold on, let me look at that real quick.
I'm going to guess not. I got to think they've figured out how to gain these systems. I'll bet you you buy the 8-day, you get the park hopper. And it's still going to be cheaper.
Well, so hold on. Let me look at that. Hold on.
And then you can look it up. I'm just stalling here. But the other thing to mention is, of course, if you go with the park hopper option, I know that they'll mention only going for 1 day, but it will open up park hopping for all of the days of your trip.
Okay. So an 8-day base ticket, with park hopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
382.70. Okay. So if you wanted no park hopping, 340. So it's only 40. No, it's cheaper to buy an 8-day park hopper than any other combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug adds, P.S. this trip, I'll be renting a 10-man luxury camper to stay at Fort Wilderness. The camper and all I have to do is show up. The total cost is about 2/3 the cost of the Fort Wilderness cabins. Plus, it comes with a golf cart.
No, really?
Yeah, well, Newell did this when we did, what was it, 10 Fest? 10 Event? I forget which one it was.
And it was, Newell, it was cheaper than the cabin?
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, how was it to stay in it?
We had a luxury one. It was really nice.
You didn't have any trouble with the beds or the showers or the bathrooms or anything like that?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. They even brought it to us and hooked it up for us.
Really?
That's key because if you think, I can park it, trust me, parking those things is not easy in those spots. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, this was like a bus. This was the size of a tour bus.
Yeah, this is like a tour bus.
Yeah.
I remember waking up, man, in that tent and then looking over at you and
hearing that.
Didn't we knock on the door and threaten to kill you or something like that?
That's because the heater kept kicking on in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. And it was like, it was a noisy. Of course, you didn't care because it was probably, you know, you probably had insulated.
Oh, yeah.
Insulated walls. But for us out there, it was like.
The sound of the jacuzzi was over. They couldn't hear it.
Yes,
that.
That's true.
Yeah. It was. I think it was the champagne chilling machine that was the sort of the straw that broke the camel's back there.
I
remember that.
I felt like first class for once.
Did you think it was better than the cabins?
I've never stayed in a cabin, but I would probably stay in the bus again before I would do a cabin. It was that nice.
The cabin is a double wide, essentially.
Yeah, it's a double wide mobile home. But the one thing I don't like about the bathrooms themselves are fine in the cabins. It's one bathroom for, you know, essentially six people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a
lot. That was the deal killer. This is a number of years ago. Mike Newell and Fred Hazelson and I were all going to go down to Walt Disney. We're going to split the cost. We're going to stay in a Fort Wilderness cabin. And this is great. This is great. This is a perfect trip. It's going to be really cheap. We're all going to get down there. Yeah, man. Yeah. And then someone mentioned there's only one bathroom. We're like, all right, dude, the trip's off.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a deal killer.
It totally killed the trip.
So you had one bathroom in the mobile home, right?
Yes.
In the RV.
Yes.
Do you remember the company's, Mike?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember the company name for the RV?
Oh, good. No, I don't. That was 5-6 years ago.
You probably Google it. Just Google, you know, RV rentals.
RV rentals, Kissimmee, I think.
Yeah, and I just look for the really fancy ones.
Yeah, they were actually really good. They came, they dropped it. I mean, you can go and pick it up and rent it like you would rent a car, but we paid a little extra to have the guy bring it to us and back it
and
in.
At 2/3 the cost of the cabin plus the golf cart. Golf cart's not cheap. That's why. A Disney charge is what, $50 a day?
I think it's up to $55 or $69.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. You can get those third party too, just like you can get the wheelchair rentals and the stroller rentals. They'll also bring you golf cart rentals. We saw them offloading in the parking lot.
Nice.
Wow, nice.
But next email from Anne from Chicago, Illinois. I asked you about the decorations of the Polynesian earlier, and thank you so much for all the helpful information. My other question is this. I know that the Haunted Mansion will be closed for refurbishment when we're down there for our trip, but will Memento Mori still be open? Haunted Mansion is my favorite ride, and I'd like to buy some of the merchandise if I can.
Yeah, I think Memento Mori will be open. I love that store. You guys, what they're doing reunion, right?
Yeah, it's a great store.
I didn't get a chance to go in there.
Oh, it's awesome. You gotta check it out.
Yeah, the merchandise is really sort of high quality and unique stuff. I mean, it's things that I was surprised to see. In the store. Just really sort of thoughtful. Things that fit the Haunted Mansion theme. I really liked it a lot.
Oh, good. I'm glad they have somewhere for it now, because so I don't have to see Haunted Mansion merchandise in the Tower of Terror gift shop, which makes no sense, people.
Well, it's, you know, spooky and scary.
It makes no sense.
Bad show.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. That's lazy show is what that is. Mm. Next, we have an email from Craig Cudmore of Ottawa, Canada. Your episode on ride mashups has gotten my creative juices flowing. Here's another one. Mashup the Great Piggy Bank Adventure with One Man's Dream. You get to play the banker and sit across the table from a virtual Walt Disney as he tries to convince you to lend him money to build a Disneyland. Do you have what it takes to say no to such a risky venture, or will you give in to his charisma? Bonus attraction, make it a meet and greet for Scrooge McDuck. There you go.
That's fantastic.
Nice. I like that. Alrighty. Last email today means I get Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today. The other two go back in the email queue to be answered later. Right, Mike?
Sure thing.
Your options are pulling a Griswold. The request lines are open.
All right.
Disney savings account question from the Poconos.
Oh, I don't know much about the Disney savings account.
Yeah, my apologies to the Griswolds because I think we turned them down last time too. I would like to hear the request lines are open.
Last email today is from Brian Cern of White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Brian.
I was White Bear Lake.
White Bear Lake.
That's Polar Bear, Minnesota. Okay.
White Bear lives here.
Fire bad.
What this is, it's marketing, Len. Let's call this place Polar Bear Lake. No, you idiot. No.
Everyone thinks it's called White Bear Lake. It sounds vaguely Native American. It sounds exotic. Let's do
it sounds
that.
Like panda bear. That's great.
Oh, yeah. People love panda bears. Come on.
That's right. Because I cannot fly and lay eggs on ground in snow village. I was listening to Mouse World Radio this morning when Fun to Be Free came on, the 16-minute dance mix version, which made me wonder. Oh, God. Yes. My sympathies. How does Mouse World Radio work? Is there a giant Mouse World Radio iPod set to shuffle? Is there a preset playlist made sometime in advance? Is it possible to make requests? Because I haven't heard that original Epcot entrance music in years. Keep up the good work.
Oh, he liked it.
It is entirely possible to make requests. I think we've all done it, right?
Yes, we text Mike Newell and say, Mike, please play this.
He's like, I'll get that on in 10 minutes.
I did that so that Matt could impress his girlfriend at the time.
I did that. So I totally did that. We were at the Polynesian.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was at the Polynesian Resort. This was with Marissa, so this is I could tell this story.
Ooh.
We were at the Polynesian, and we were going to watch Wishes. And I think there was some reason we didn't either want to watch from the beach or we couldn't watch from the beach. Regardless, we weren't there, so we couldn't hear the music. And so I was like, don't worry about this. I got this covered. So I said, can you play?
Yeah, there's some people.
Wishes is going to start in like 5 minutes. Can you put on Mouse World Radio, Wishes? And sure enough, he did.
Hey, baby, check this out.
If I would have known that when I was single. you like fireworks, baby? Oh, yeah.
You like illuminations, huh? Okay.
I'm gonna do something special just for you.
Watch this. But yeah, it's a giant playlist that's totally random on all the channels except for the time shows, which I have at 8. And
well, you have 9 a.m. You have 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock a.m. 9 a.m. a.m. I also started something, Len, you'd like it. At 3 p.m., I do a thing called the 3 o'clock parade, which is a random parade every day.
Oh, that's nice. I haven't... I haven't listened since I got back from – I played it all the time when I was in New York over New Year's. And then I haven't listened in about 10 days. Oof. I bet your numbers are dropping because usually I keep it just on.
But, yeah, and don't call me to – and don't tweet me to request.
Exactly.
No. Mike loves that thing, by the way.
What's that?
Mike loves those personal requests. Mike, can you do this right now?
I'm going to forward them all to you. I'm going to retweet you in every one of them.
Well, don't forget, of course, we want to hear your emails and comments
and
about anything about Walt Disney World. Let us know about the bungalows.
If anyone's staying there and they have a spare bedroom, I will fly down. I'll pay for half of it for the one night. Yeah,
we love hearing about it. So anything on your mind about Walt Disney World, any questions, comments, thoughts, you can, of course, email us. And, of course, our email is questions@wwwtoday.com. And this episode of WWW Today has been sponsored by... MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, and you know, if you're looking to plan a trip to Walt Disney World, all this talking has got you thinking, I would love to get down there. Well, of course, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan the perfect trip to Walt Disney World. It gets you a great deal on it. In fact, you come out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also, All Star Vacation Homes is sponsoring this episode, and you know, we love All Star Vacation Homes. We mentioned actually one of the questions earlier when they were saying, you know, we got a family of, I think it was like 12. That wanted to stay somewhere, you know, where should we stay? And we said, Len said it himself, All Star Vacation Homes is a great place to be able to stay and get everyone in there, whether you're family, friends, really that kind of a group trip, multi-generational trip. It's one of the best places you can pick. And not only can you save money, it's really close to Disney World. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And it's also sponsored by touringplans.com. And, you know, when you're in the parks, this is the truth, and you want to see your favorite attractions. There's so many great attractions these days, and there's so few slow days at the parks anymore. Touringplans.com has become a necessity in order to see all your favorite attractions to make sure you're not waiting in those really long lines. They're terrible. No one likes them. They're trip killers, really. So check out touringplans.com right now. Go to touringplans.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.